swallowing me whole with no remorse or absolution. I took a few deep breaths, splashed some water on my face, patted it dry, and glanced at myself one last time before walking back into his life. A life that I didn't belong in. "Oh, Austin, it's so good to see my boy." I stopped dead in my tracks, staying behind the wall. "It's good to see you too, Ma," Austin replied. I placed my hand on my forehead, leaning my head against the wall. I wasn't ready to listen to this conversation, but it was as if my feet were glued to the goddamn floor. "Hey, Pop," Austin added in a strained tone. He had parents that loved him too. We were nothing alike. I thought he was an orphan like me. I thought we were one and the same. He had everything I always wanted. "Look at you. Where's my blue-eyed boy?" his mom asked, her voice laced with nothing but love for him.
"He's behind all the tattoos that have now ruined his life even more."
I winced with his dad's response. I was to blame for that, too. I couldn't stand around and listen any longer. I pushed off the wall and walked out to the patio, finding a secluded spot toward the side. If it were up to me, I would stay there until we left. I couldn't stand being around his truth any longer. All it did was add to the lie that he told me. The lie he made me believe. 2 years. 2 fucking years I'd been with him. Not once had he mentioned a home, the family who loved him, waiting for him to come back home instead of wasting his life away with me. His future. I watched Austin's friend Lucas walk out onto the beach. I could see him, but he couldn't see me. It was his mom that passed away. He stared out at the ocean like he wanted to disappear into the night, let the waves take him under instead of his emotions. He looked so broken and lost. I remembered feeling that exact same way at my parents' funeral. It was like your mind and heart were running away, but your body was standing in place, with nowhere to go. "God, when was the last time we were all together like this?" the girl, Alex, asked, pulling me away from my thoughts as she walked out onto the beach to stand next to Lucas. 3 years, Austin answered, walking up behind her, gently tugging her hair. The other two boys, Dylan and Jacob, quickly followed. They all stood together. Each one of them appeared as if they were fighting their own demons, their own plaguing thoughts. Especially Austin.
"It's been too fucking long," Jacob chimed in, pulling Alex to his side.
"Jesus,
look at those kids surfing. Seems like just yesterday that was us out there," Dylan reminisced, looking at the water with the same sense of longing I felt for Austin, even though he was only a few feet away from me.
"Have we let these 3 years go by without all of us being together? We used to spend every second together," Dylan added.
"I know," Alex breathed out. "I can't tell you how much I miss you boys. God, Austin, it's so good to freaking see you."
She strolled from Jacob to him, wrapping her arms around his waist. Austin kissed the top of her head.
"It's nice to be home."
Hearing Austin say those words was like taking a knife to the heart. Home. I thought I was his home. The longer I sat there out of sight, the more I realized I didn't know Austin at all. Not like his friends did. It was like he was living a double life. And I was the outsider looking in. The boys left, leaving just him and Alex alone together. They sat on the beach in easy silence for a few minutes. Austin pulled her to his side with his arm wrapped around her as she laid her head on his shoulder, exactly the way he had done to me so many damn times I lost count. I loved being wrapped in his arms. I'd never felt so safe. Alex looked so comfortable, so at ease in his arms, as if she spent most of her childhood there. The way they looked at each other, the way they talked to each other. There was familiarity in his gaze when he peered at her, as if he was staring at me. I recognized it immediately. In that exact moment, I realized why Austin hadn't ever said "I love you" to me. The truth was playing out in front of me, unfolding before my very own eyes. The home that I had built with him out of a deck of cards was crumbling down on me. He didn't love me. He loved her. I got up and left.
Chapter 23, Austin. After talking to Alex on the beach, catching up on the last 3 years, I walked back into the restaurant looking for Briggs. She was nowhere to be found. I checked everywhere, even leaning my head into the woman's bathroom, calling her name. I walked back out into the main dining area.
"Austin," Mom coaxed, grabbing my arm to stop me. "Please, honey, Don't listen to your father. You look good.
She placed her hand on the side of my face.
Handsome. Very handsome. You've done a lot of growing up, haven't you?
After my dad spewed his venom, I walked away from them. The last thing I wanted was to start a fight at Savannah's funeral. It wasn't the time or place.
How are you? From your postcards, it seems like you have been all over the world traveling.
I nodded, searching the room for Briggs again.
With that girl?
Mom pulled my attention back to her. Her name is Briggs, Ma. She lovingly smiled.
I'm so happy you're home. We can...
I put my hand up, stopping her. I'm only here for the funeral. My home's in New York now, with Briggs. She raised her eyebrows.
New York? Are you going to...
I shook my head no, knowing what she was about to say. I'm not going to college. I'll work. I make good money. You don't have to worry about me. I'm happy. Happier than I've ever been.
As long as you're happy, that's all that has ever mattered to me. Your father...
I don't want to talk about him, Ma. I'll try to keep in touch more. I promise. It's good to see you. I've missed you.
I love you, Austin. No matter what.
I love you, too. She kissed my cheek and made her way back to my father's side. We locked eyes from across the room for a few seconds before he shook his head and continued his conversation with Dylan's dad. I couldn't find Briggs anywhere. I pulled out my cell phone, calling her number. It went straight to voicemail.
The fuck?
I said to myself. I looked out at the patio and around the beach, going back into the restaurant to look one last time. I told Dylan, Jacob, and Alex I was heading out. Dylan asked me if I was staying around for a bit, and I told him probably not. He nodded in understanding, and Half-Pint hugged me again, whispering in my ear not to be a stranger. I nodded. I called Briggs again when I was in the cab, and it went straight to voicemail again, which only added to my frustration on where the fuck she went. I walked into our hotel room, starting to panic. Briggs! I yelled out to no avail, looking around the room. That's when I noticed the sliding glass door to the balcony was open. I found her sitting out there, blankly staring at the ocean.
What the fuck, babe? I've been looking all over for you. Your phone is going straight to fucking voicemail. Why would you leave me like that?
She didn't even look up at me when she whispered,
You looked fine to me, Austin. I left you with your friends and family, where you belong.
Baby, I coaxed, moving her chair that she was sitting in to crouch down in front of her on the balls of my feet.
Let me explain.
She cocked her head to the side.
Explain what? That you're a fucking liar? That you have lied to me for over 2 years now?
I would never lie to you, I simply stated. She looked me dead in the eye.
I recall you saying I don't have anything to go home to. Sound familiar?
I don't.
Then we have two very different definitions of that statement, Austin.
Briggs, listen to me. My family, my friends, and I...
Fuck, it's complicated.
What you saw today, there's a lot you don't know.
No shit.
I jerked back. It's not like you've been a patent of fucking honesty, Briggs. Or should I call you Daisy Martinez? Your uncle might appreciate that, I snapped.
My name is Daisy Mitchell, not Martinez. He was my mom's brother.
Was? She scoffed.
Yeah, Austin, was. You want to share sad stories? I'll go first. I'm a fucking orphan. The only reason I didn't tell you Martinez was my uncle is because I didn't want you to stop looking at me the way you do. You haven't looked at me the same since you found out. You don't know this life. You don't know what I've seen, what he's capable of. When people realize that I'm related to him, it changes the way they look at me, the way they treat me, the way they act around me. You really think a woman would have been respected the way I was if they didn't know I was his niece?
I took a deep breath, knowing she was right.
I've lived a very fucked up life. My parents were killed in a car accident when I was 6. I still dream about their dead bodies in the car. I still see all the blood, their bodies mangled, glass shattered everywhere. I still remember the last thing I told them, telling them I hated them.
A single tear fell down her face. I just sat there, shocked as shit with what she had just revealed, knowing she wasn't even done yet. Never in a million years did I expect her to say those things. She held it together, never once making me think she was that broken over the last 2 years.
I still hear my own voice, yelling at them, begging them to hold me, to comfort me, pleading with them to wake up, not understanding why they wouldn't. I still remember waking up in a hospital. Next to me was a man I'd never met before, a man with cold, dark eyes and no soul, with an expensive suit, a man who never held me, never told me he loved me, never consoled me when I woke up screaming in the middle of the night.
Her tears fell freely now, one right after the other.
The first time I saw someone murdered, it was on my 15th birthday. It was my uncle's gift to me. What a sick fuck, right? He killed the driver of the car that took away my life, right in front of my eyes. His blood is on my hands now. To this day, I still feel his brains and skull all over me.
She wept, her breathing becoming erratic. Baby. I reached out for her, and she harshly pushed me away.
Oh, come on, Austin. I'm just sharing my sad story. It's what you've always wanted, right? For me to tell you my truths,
she bellowed, her voice breaking with each word.
Esteban was my only friend, and he wasn't even a friend. He was paid to protect me. He took my virginity the same night my uncle took the little bit of innocence I had left.
Jesus Christ, I breathed out.
My uncle found us. He beat him within an inch of his life. His men dragged him out of the room. For the last 5 years, I didn't even know if he was dead or alive. I've been a Martinez since that night. Daisy Mitchell died with her parents in the car.
She shook her head, willing away the memories, knowing it was no use. They were etched in her soul as much as my scars were carved in my skin.
Your favorite tattoo, Austin? I got it done a month after I became a Martinez. I dropped out of school and started dealing drugs. I saw the world through his eyes, and I fucking hated it. I walked into the parlor already knowing what I wanted. I had it all drawn out. The pin-up girl, Austin, it's me. I have an angel and devil on my shoulders. My uncle and my mom,
she bawled. I couldn't take it anymore. I immediately pulled her into my arms, holding her as tight as I could, trying to keep her heart from breaking into pieces right in front of me. I murmured. You will never be alone again. You won't ever be scared again.
I'm here, baby, and I'm not going anywhere. We're best friends, remember?
I added, trying to lighten the mood. She shook her head, pulling away from me, looking deep into my eyes.
You have enough best friends, Austin. I witnessed your relationships today, so don't make promises you can't keep.
Briggs,
How long, Austin?
I frowned, not understanding what she was implying. She didn't falter.
How long have you been in love with your best friend? How long have you been in love with Alex?
Chapter 23. Briggs.
Is that why? Is she why you left Oak Island? What, am I the rebound girl? I asked, needing to know. No, baby. You're the only fucking girl for me. Don't lie to me again. That's bullshit. I'm not lying to you. I don't have anything here for me. I never did. That's the reason why I left. My relationship with my parents, with my dad, with the boys, I love them, don't get me wrong. I would be there for them at the drop of a dime. Even Lucas, and he fucking hates me. I left because I almost killed Alex in a car accident. I drove drunk and raced a friend through the fucking woods. We hit a tree, Briggs. I was in a coma for a week. Alex was in a coma for a few days, too. You've seen my scars. I had to have brain surgery. I suffered several broken bones and was in physical therapy for months. Shit went downhill fast after that, especially my friendship with the boys. I took in every word he was saying, finally hearing his truths, his sad story. My parents want me to be something I'm not. They always have. They have never accepted me for who I wanted to be, and it's a big part of why it took me so long to figure out who that person was. I've always felt like I wasn't good enough. I wasn't smart enough. I just wasn't enough. Alex and I have always been the closest.
I think it's because we're really similar in the sense that we've always just wanted to be one of the good old boys. She didn't even start wearing girl clothes till she was almost 11, thinking she was one of us since the day she could fucking crawl. She's always been there for me, no matter what. She was always there. Somewhere along the way, I confused that relationship and I thought I loved her. I thought she was the one, up until I met you. I still thought that. He kissed the tip of my nose, hugging me closer to his body. And you're right. She's part of the reason I left. Lucas and Alex are meant to be together. I've always known that. I think a huge part of me just wanted a connection with someone, to feel loved and accepted. I never had that before you. From the second I'd laid eyes on you, I wanted to know every last thing about you. Everything I thought I felt for Alex didn't even come close to what I feel for you. The night we met, the night I had my first conversation with the girl who had purple hair and tattoos, I realized how wrong I was, how I had misinterpreted my feelings for Alex. You know why, Daisy? Because the day you walked into my life, I started living again. You gave me a reason to start living again instead of just surviving. I smiled. And it felt like forever since I had last done it. He grabbed my expression in the air and placed it near his heart, grabbing the sides of my face, looking deep into my eyes. I love you, Daisy Mitchell. Briggs Martinez. I'm so fucking in love with you. I bit my lip, my eyes filling with tears again. You will never be alone again. I nodded, fresh tears falling down my face. He kissed them all, wiping them away with his lips, then he kissed me again. I fucking love you, he repeated against my mouth. He picked me up off the chair, grabbing me by my ass. I wrapped my legs around his waist. We kissed fervently as he carried me to the bed, gently placing me on top of the mattress, with his body lying on top of mine. He took his time, savoring me, making slow, passionate love to me all night long. There wasn't an inch of my skin that he didn't touch, kiss, or lick. There wasn't a moan or pant left for me to voice after he thoroughly made love to me the way we wanted. The way we both needed. I was lying in his arms, kissing the scar near his heart. He was covered in ink now, but it was the only one I wouldn't let him get a tattoo over. It was my scar. It belonged to me. I peered up at him with loving eyes and whispered, I love you too.
Chapter 24, Austin. We decided to stay around Oak Island for a few more days. I showed her all the spots the boys, Alex and I, used to go and cause trouble at, sharing a part of my world with her. I even took her to the dock where I used to go to be alone and draw. By the time we made it there, it was already nightfall. We sat at the edge of the wooden planks with our feet splashing in the water, like I had done so many times as a kid, getting lost in my own thoughts. Something came over me and I pulled Briggs in front of me to straddle my lap. It was hotter than hell out, and she was wearing a dress. I slipped my cock through the zipper of my jeans and slid her panties over, lifting her just enough to thrust my dick inside of her. She let out a loud moan that echoed off the water. We made love just like that. I wanted nothing more than to make new memories with her there, to replace all the sad ones from my childhood. We didn't hang out with the boys, Alex, or my parents. I had enough emotional bullshit to last me a lifetime. I didn't need them causing more drama around Briggs. I just wanted to make new memories with her in a town I'd spent the last 3 years running away from. I loved every second of it. I even tried to show her how to surf, but the second she saw a shark, she flew the fuck off the board and said there was no way in hell she was going back on it. She laid out on the beach reading instead while I surfed the entire day. It was like I was reliving the best parts of my childhood all over again, except the love of my life was right there with me, the way it was always supposed to be. I was paying for it, though. By the time we got back to the hotel, my back was fucking killing me. I took down two more oxys and smoked a joint with Briggs on the balcony. How the girl found a drug dealer in Oak Island while I was out surfing was beyond me. We landed back in New York the next evening.
It's good to be home. I miss my bed,
Briggs said, putting the key into the lock of her apartment. I miss fucking you in your bed. She grinned, turning to face me.
Our bed,
she simply stated with a huge smile on her face. I leaned in and kissed her lips. our bed, I repeated, pushing her back against the door, kissing her hard and deep as she fumbled to get the door open. I heard the lock release. I walked forward, not breaking our connection, as she walked backwards into the apartment. My hand immediately went to her panties, reaching inside to touch her pussy.
Jesus Christ! You can't even keep your fingers off my niece's pussy long enough to walk into the goddamn door!
Uncle!
Briggs shrieked, shoving me away to pull down her dress. You're lucky it was my fingers and not my tongue. Knock on the fucking door next time before you make yourself at home in our apartment. I spewed, pissed that he was there unannounced and uninvited. He cocked his head to the side, arching an eyebrow.
Our?
Did I stutter?
Austin?
Briggs coaxed, gently placing her hand on my chest, trying to get me to back down. Martinez didn't scare me.
This isn't even her apartment. It's mine. I pay for it. Briggs, how about the next time you ask someone to move in, they're aware of who fucking owns it first?
There won't be a next time. I'll start paying for it. Just tell me who to make the check out to, I said, not cowering down. I really hated this fucker and everything he stood for, including all the shit Briggs told me she went through because of him. How the man couldn't fucking hug her or console her as a child. Why he couldn't tell her that he loved her was beyond me. I couldn't imagine being a child raised in the middle of this lifestyle. It was something I couldn't fucking fathom. He grinned, narrowing his eyes at me, contemplating what he was about to say. He looked back and forth between us before his stare settled on Briggs. I've decided to make some changes. You want him involved in every aspect of your life, Peladita? I can't stop you, but I'm personally over the fact that you're spreading your legs for the goddamned help again. I stepped toward him, and Briggs helped me back. He scoffed, standing, placing his hands in the pockets of his slacks. He rounded the corner of the island, unfazed, stopping about a foot away from us. Briggs stood right in the middle, waiting to intervene if needed.
Since you're so fucking involved in my business and what's mine, he paused, looking at Briggs, including this apartment, I've decided to promote you.
No!
Briggs yelled, stepping toward him between us.
You can't fucking do this, Uncle! I won't let you! He's not—
Baby, I don't need you to answer for me, I sneered, pulling her aside to stand in front of Martinez. Man to fucking man. His eyes glazed over. It was quick, but I saw it. What you did in Colombia took some fucking balls. I can appreciate a man who protects what he thinks is his. You would have shot Hector in the fucking face had Briggs not stopped you. Without even batting an eye, I know you would have pulled the fucking trigger. I was 12 when I had my first taste of blood. I murdered a man point blank, protecting what I thought was also mine.
Uncle, please, don't do this,
Briggs whispered, her head bowed with an expression I couldn't see. I don't need both of you. Austin here, he nodded toward me, is now in charge.
What?
I replied, confused.
You want to be boss man? Well, then here's your fucking chance.
Briggs, I knew my uncle was going to do this. The second he told me that he was done playing it my way. From the moment Austin put the goddamn gun to Hector's head, I fucking knew my uncle's dark, cold eyes would dilate. He would see an investment, something of value to him. Something that was mine. He would see a different side of the man that I had been trying so desperately not to change, not to let this life take over. The man that would do anything to protect me. The man that, if given the chance, would thrive on the power, the respect, the goddamn lifestyle that I hated with everything inside of me. The man that he could control. I would have never brought him into this life if I'd known he had a home to go back to. I should have left him back in Oak Island where he belonged. I should have saved him from my uncle. Protected him like he protected me. But leaving him wasn't an option. I love him. The mere thought of not being with him every day was too much to bear. I knew I was being selfish. But I was finally happy for the first time in my life since. At the end of the day, Austin was a grown-ass man, and all I could do was stand by and watch it happen. Praying to God that it wouldn't change him, that he wouldn't turn into what my uncle wanted me to become. My worst nightmare.
You want me to take over Briggs' job?
I can't do that to her, Austin stated with a sincere tone, shaking his head. My eyes lit up, glancing over at him, thinking I won, that this may lean in my favor.
I could never take this away from her. She will be right there with you, won't you, Briggs?
My uncle locked eyes with me. I spoke too soon. I glared at him. I loved Austin too much to ever leave his side, especially when it came to this life. Uncle knew I wouldn't say no. He knew he had me right where he wanted me. Austin was his ticket to my soul.
He doesn't know what... And that's why you'll teach him. I'll have someone else take over the traveling for the time being. He will run New York with you. Look at it this way. He will have plenty of time to fuck you in your own bed, he mocked, interrupting me from the pitiful excuses I had.
It was the first time in over 15 years, after everything he had put me through, made me see, made me experience, that I wanted to tell him that I fucking hated him. Uncle's phone rang, breaking through my plaguing thoughts. He grabbed it out of his suit pocket, putting a finger out in front of him before he turned, answering the phone.
Habla, he ordered. Talk.
Walking out onto the balcony, shutting the door behind him. Austin grabbed my chin, making me look up at him instead.
I don't want you to do this, I blurted, unable to hold back my emotions.
He jerked back, offended.
What? You don't think I can do it?
I don't want you to do it, I repeated with a stern tone that time.
So it's good enough for you, but not for me? Is that what you're saying?
I don't want you in this life. I roughly pulled my face out of his grasp.
Look at me. It's a little too late for that, Briggs. It's your life, and now I'm a part of it. At least this way I won't have to worry about your safety anymore.
What about yours? I countered.
You don't think I can handle myself, baby?
There's a lot more that goes into this lifestyle than what I've been showing you. I kept you in the dark for a reason. You don't know what the fuck you're getting involved in. You're signing your life away to the devil, and you don't even fucking realize it.
As long as it keeps you by my side, I don't give a flying fuck where my life goes.
You don't know what you're saying. You have a family and friends back home. What about them? I was trying anything and everything to get him to open his eyes and see the picture clearly.
I don't give a fuck about anyone but you, Briggs. All I know is this gig makes a shit ton of money, and I know it keeps you in the lifestyle that you're used to. I can't give you this life without him. Do you understand?
I shook my head. I don't care about any of that. Fuck the money. Fuck this apartment and fuck him, I viciously spewed, pointing to the balcony.
I care, he argued. None of this belongs to you, Briggs. I can do this for a few years and I can set us up. We can get married, get a house, have you barefoot and pregnant in our kitchen.
He grinned and my heart melted. He was saying everything I wanted to hear, everything I ever wanted. A home, a life, a family, us. He stepped toward me, grabbing my chin again to look deep into my eyes.
I love you. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. Let me take care of you. That's all I've ever wanted to do.
I took a deep breath, my resolve fading.
Austin, I would never lie to you. I promise it will only be for a few years, baby. That's all I need to give you your dream, to give you a happy life.
He grabbed the sides of my face, caressing my cheeks with his thumbs. I want to marry you, Daisy.
I want the white picket fence, the 3 kids I plan to knock you up with, the dog, the cat, the whole 9 yards, baby. I want to give you the life that you deserve. No more sad stories. Only happy ones from here on out.
I want that too, I whispered. My uncle walked back in from the balcony. Austin kissed the tip of my nose, murmuring, "You're my girl." Then he turned to face him. I would forever remember this moment for the rest of my life. 2 words. 2 simple words.
I'm in.
Since the death of my parents, Austin was the first place I ever called home. He was also the first person to ever destroy it.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. so please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
This is Audible.
Alexis Audiobooks presents the unabridged recording of Crave Me, The Good Old Boys, Volume 4. Written by M. Robinson, performed by Kurt Campbell and Veronica Pace.
Chapter 25, Austin. I'm in. Two words that changed my entire life 2.5 years ago. Briggs was right. I had no fucking idea what I was getting myself into. There was so much that happened behind closed doors that she never introduced me to, that she never told me about for whatever reason. I was her bodyguard for over 2 years before I took over and became boss man. After being in this lifestyle, you would think I'd have experience, but I felt like I hadn't learned one fucking thing, that I was seeing everything for the first time through new eyes, a completely different outlook on life and everything it had to offer. The power, the respect, the money, the drugs. Jesus Christ, the fucking drugs. When Briggs was in charge and we were traveling, it was all about the meetings, the locations, the shipments, the costs, the quantities, and how to import it into the U.S. It was very rare that we saw or handled the actual drugs that she was trafficking. Unless we were partying, they weren't really around, except the pain pills and weed I had on me constantly. But now, they weren't ever not around. Briggs walked in with groceries in her hands. My girl had become domesticated, since she had all the time in the world to do what she wanted. She hadn't gone on runs with me in well over a year. It was better to have her stay home. I didn't have to worry about her safety that way. I could handle my business and come home to her. The best part of my day was coming home to her. Even after almost 5 years of being together, she still took my goddamn breath away. On several occasions I would come home, and she would have Spanish music blaring through the speakers. Her hips and body swayed to the beat while she cooked her dinner. She looked sexy as fuck. I would stand there and watch her move in a way only Briggs could, so addicted to the sight of her dancing that I knew no one else had ever seen. I'd stand out of view waiting until the song was over before I'd carry her to the closest place where I could have my way with her, ordering her to say dirty things to me in Spanish before I'd make her come with my tongue, my fingers, and my fucking cock. "Baby, come try this shit," I stated, snorting another line from the new shipment of blow we received that morning. My boys John and Mitch were sitting on the couch across from me, smoking a blunt. They worked for Martinez, too, and we became friends about a year ago. It was easier to have friends that lived in the lifestyle. I didn't have to hide what I did or who I was. It made things simple. Briggs walked into the living room, cocking her head to the side.
"How many times do I have to tell you I don't get high off my own stash?"
"Technically it's mine," I replied, leaning back into the couch, letting the blow take over me. The distinct taste of the drip running down the back of my throat was the best fucking part. She shook her head in disappointment, walking out onto the balcony. I sighed, getting up to go follow her out there.
"Go show her who's boss," John laughed.
I flipped him off, grabbing her birthday present that I'd hid under the bed. She was turning 24 the next day, and I wanted it to be perfect. I put a lot of thought into my gift. I planned on spending the entire day with her, but that wouldn't happen if I didn't straighten this shit out now. I knew why she was pissed. Briggs was leaning against the railing already, lost in thought, even though she had just stepped out there not even a minute ago. It was happening a lot more lately, which only meant I had to work extra hard to make her smile for me. She didn't really acknowledge me when I walked out, shutting the double doors behind me. I lit a cigarette, making my way over to her, sliding her hair to the side to kiss the back of her neck like I knew she loved.
Austin.
What, baby? I rasped, turning her to face me.
You said you weren't going to get high today. Remember? Last night, you said.
Was that before or after I made you come on my cock? I asked, kissing along her neck.
That's not fair,
she replied, pushing me off. I took a drag of my cigarette, blowing it out to the side. I caged her in with my arms, placing my hands on the railing. She still hadn't noticed the gift in my hands. She was obviously too pissed off at me to care.
Hey,
I kissed the tip of her nose.
I love you.
I kissed her cheeks and all over her face.
Where's my girl?
Hmm?
Where's my Daisy?
On her birthday last year, I tattooed a key over my heart with the name Daisy engraved on it. I surprised her with it later that night in bed, when she was touching the scar near my heart like she did every night. I kissed her lips, beckoning her to open them for me. When she finally did, I groaned into her mouth, and she smiled against mine. Her resolve was breaking. She could never stay mad at me. We loved each other too much.
I got you something, birthday girl.
She smirked.
My birthday is tomorrow. You trying to butter me up, Austin?
Depends. Is it working? I stepped back, taking another drag off my cigarette, before stubbing it out in the ashtray, then handing her the gift.
I see you wrapped it yourself,
she teased, making fun of my shitty attempt. She tore open the package, her eyes widening once she pulled out the blanket.
Oh, my God,
she whispered, her eyes immediately filling with tears. She took in every last square of the memory blanket that I'd had specially made for her. There was a picture of her mom, her dad, and her as a baby, a few family shots scattered around. There was a photo of us that was taken in Oak Island, and Daisy's to fill in the spaces between. The rest were my sketches, her favorite pictures that I drew. She ran her fingers over all the pictures, tears falling down on them. It's for when I work late and you're alone. I know you hate it. I know you worry, even though you have nothing to be scared about. But now, you can wait for me wrapped up in this blanket and feel safe and secure until I come home to you. She peered up at me with her big, bright blue eyes, tears falling down her beautiful face.
How did you do this?
Believe it or not, your uncle.
Briggs. I jerked back, stunned. What? My uncle helped you. I told him that I wanted to give you a piece of your childhood for your birthday. He gave me an address and a key. He said everything I needed would be in there. It was a storage unit that didn't have much, just some boxes. There were photo albums, clothes, and some jewelry. He told me to keep the key, in case you wanted... My uncle? He's kept all this? Why didn't he ever tell... I shook my head, wiping away the tears. I gave up trying to understand Uncle Alejandro years ago. I took in every last picture, especially the one of my mom and dad. They were kissing. They looked so happy, so in love. I couldn't believe Austin did this. It was the most thoughtful thing anyone could have given me. A piece of my happiness before the darkness set in. You look like her, but you have your dad's blue eyes, he chimed in, pointing to my dad in the picture. I smiled, more tears spilled over. My dad used to travel a lot. My mom would let me sleep with her in their bed when he was gone. She'd tell me that she didn't miss him as much when I was lying next to her, that all she had to do was look in my eyes and she would see my dad staring back at her. Austin grabbed my chin, making me look at him, wiping away my tears with his thumb, the smell of cigarettes along with his touch comforting me the way it always did. I didn't have this made to make you cry, baby. They're happy tears, I reassured him. Anytime you want to talk about your parents, I'm here to listen. I wish I could have met them so I could tell them how amazing their daughter is and how much I'm in love with her. I love you too. Thank... Austin? Mitch called out, peeking his head through the door, interrupting our special moment. I had forgotten that they were here, which was surprising since they were here more often than not. I didn't get fucked up with Austin nearly as much as I used to. I thought if I stopped partying, If I led by example, then he would follow in my footsteps. I was wrong. He just got new friends to party and get fucked up with. Your phone is ringing off the damn hook in here. Either answer it or turn it the fuck off, he said, holding Austin's ringing phone out in front of him. Austin glanced over at me, silently asking my consent, and I nodded. He walked away from me to grab the phone. I stayed by the railing, admiring my blanket. He was so fucking sweet when he wanted to be. Yeah? He answered, his tone and demeanor quickly changing. No shit, motherfucker. It was supposed to be here last week. You either make it happen or I'll find someone who will, he snapped, making me jump. I stopped going on runs with him a long time ago. He didn't need me with him anymore. I was just another thing for him to worry about during deals. I hated the person he would turn into. He wasn't my Austin when he was working. He was a complete stranger. The power, the money, and the drugs took over. It didn't happen overnight, but as weeks turned into months and months turned into years, the more I started to see him become someone I didn't recognize anymore. Someone that scared me. Someone that reminded me of my uncle. I just stopped going, and he never asked why. I think a part of him knew. It was easier for him to be that person if I wasn't around, to let the darkness take over. He loved the power and respect. The money was just an added bonus because what he really loved were the drugs. It was no longer about the pain in his back. For years, I justified him popping pain pills like they were fucking candy, that he was actually in agony from the muscle spasms, to have to take the Percocets, the Vicodins, the Oxys that I supplied him with, anything I could get my hands on to help him get through the day. That wasn't the case anymore. There were days that I couldn't tell if he was high or sober. Sometimes it all blended together, and that terrified me. I lay awake waiting for him, not caring if he came home high, just as long as he came home to me. Wrapped his arms around me. Told me he loved me. That I was his girl. That I was his everything. Promising me a future that I desperately wanted to believe in. But as the years went on, the more it became a dream than reality. At times I felt like an outsider looking into the life I caused. The life that I brought him into. The life that he had because of me. No one else but me. There were days that I felt so lost, not knowing what happened to my life. The life that I hated was now replaced with a life I didn't recognize. The irony was not lost on me. I was home alone one day a few months ago. Austin had gone on a run. He had been drawing all morning, still pictures of me, of us, always capturing the happy memories, never the sad ones. For some reason, I went into the closet and grabbed his old notebook, the one that I had opened for the first time years ago, wanting to finally see a part of his life. I sat on her bed, my favorite place in the entire apartment, smelling him all around me. Craving him to be there, holding me, feeling like I was found in a moment where I felt so lost. My fingers turned to the very first sketch he ever drew of me, the drawing where I was dancing, so free, not knowing that my life was about to change forever, taking a drastic detour to the love I'd always wanted. I tore the picture out of the notebook, instantly turning it over. I started writing. After years of reading books, I began writing the story of my life, starting from the day Daisy Mitchell died. I transferred the few paragraphs to a Word document on my computer. Every so often, I would pick up my laptop and write a few more paragraphs, a few more sentences, a few more pages, usually when I felt lost again, which seemed to be happening a lot more lately.
You have 2 days, you hear me? If it's not fucking done, you'll have to answer to me. And trust me, you don't want to fuck with me.
Austin hung up the phone, bringing me back to the present.
Sorry about that, baby.
He was like night and day with a flick of a switch, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in a blink of an eye. But the man I loved was back. He kissed my face and pulled me into his arms, as if he knew what I was thinking, what I was feeling, what I needed that only he could ever give me. Just like that, he made everything go away. Chapter 26. Briggs. I needed a break. I needed to step back and look at the whole picture, not just what was in front of me from day to day. My mixed emotions caused chaos all around my mind, wreaking havoc all around my life and what it had become. I felt like I was a hamster on a spinning wheel, running in circles with no end in sight. Our relationship had always been intense, and still was to that day. From the second we laid eyes on each other in Miami, the whole world disappeared and we started to live in our own little bubble, our own little creation where nothing else existed or mattered, only each other, I went from being alone, from having no one, hating my life and where it was going, till him. Till Austin. He became my everything, my best friend, my only friend, my lover, my partner, my confidant. I was happy for the first time in my life. I was really, truly happy to have found someone that was just as alone as I was. Someone who needed me as much as I needed them. Love was blinding and at times cruel. You only saw what you wanted to see, what you so desperately desired, only picturing the good, never the bad. I didn't realize that Austin had demons that lurked within him. Or maybe I did and ignored the signs. Maybe it had always been just waiting around the corner for the taking. His bright blue eyes that I loved for so many years were dull and void now. I couldn't remember the last time I saw them shining bright, full of life. They had been replaced with a dilated gaze. The darkness outweighed the light and the life that I once cherished. I could still see his love for me, even behind the lies I told myself every day. He knew me inside and out. I used to love that he was the only person that had ever touched my heart, my soul. It built the bond we shared. Now it just felt like a double-edged sword placed directly in my heart. There were days I saw him, my Austin peeking back at me through the drug-induced haze, the haze that seemed to always surround him. I didn't want to believe what was so blatantly in front of my face. It was easier to live in denial instead of admitting the truth that I knew in my heart. I walked around New York aimlessly the entire day, lost in my thoughts. The city was alive all around me, yet I still felt like I was walking the streets in slow motion. Strangers were passing me by in a blur. I lied and told Austin I was going to the spa, that I needed a girl day, and I was finally using the gift certificate he had given me to spoil myself for the day. Truth was, I wanted out of my fucking apartment. I needed out. The walls were caving in on me the more I was around the truth. It was easier to live in the lies than the reality. There were always people around, hanging out, drinking, doing drugs. We were rarely alone anymore. Drugs were everywhere, all the time, spread around the apartment, on the kitchen island, on the coffee table, on the dining room table. With the open floor plan, I had nowhere I could escape it. My safe haven had become my hell. Austin and I fought about it often, and his answer was always the same. He would say he understood, that it wouldn't happen again, that he loved me, that I was his girl, that he was sorry. He was always, always fucking sorry. When I made it back to the apartment, it was already nighttime. I heard the loud music blaring the second I opened my car door in the parking garage. It vibrated against the walls of my small building. I was instantly thankful I only had three other people that lived on my floor, and most of the time they weren't even home. I knew security wouldn't do a damn thing about the noise. My uncle had everyone on his fucking payroll. Even the cops would look the other way. I pushed open the door on my floor. My heart mimicked the beat of the music. I deliberately walked slower down the hallway, not wanting to witness the shit show I knew I was about to walk into. Taking a deep, calm, soothing breath, I grabbed the knob and pushed the door open to the place I used to call my home. "What the fuck?" I said to myself, taking in the crowd of people. The billowing smoke from weed and cigarettes and God knows what the hell else hung heavy in the air. I couldn't see over the strangers who were making themselves at home in my personal space. "Where the fuck is Austin?" I whispered again to myself, getting more and more frustrated as the seconds passed. I pushed through the people, not caring who I knocked the fuck over, looking for Austin among the madness. I rose up on my tippy toes, searching the unfamiliar faces, when my eyes focused on what I thought was a little person's hand. My worst fucking nightmare played out right in front of me. A kid exposed to this life. My dining room table was covered in drugs, so much so I couldn't see the glass anymore. "Oh my God," I shouted. No one turned to look my way. Panic coursed through my body as I put my hand over my mouth, watching in complete horror and disbelief. The little girl, I had never seen before, played with the pills like they were toy cars, sliding all the different colors and tablets through the white powder on the table. She reached for a needle, and I lunged into action, roughly pushing my way through the crowd, hurrying to the little girl before she grabbed the syringe. "No, no, no!" I yelled over the music once I got to her, but it still sounded muffled. She jerked back, frightened that someone was suddenly in her face. Her little lip jutted out and tears filled her eyes. I crouched down in front of her seat, wanting to be on her level. It's okay, sweetie. Don't cry. I'm Briggs. What's your name? I rubbed her back and she bowed her head.
Molly,
she whispered, so low I could barely hear her. How old are you, Molly? I coaxed, trying to get her to trust me. She put her hand out in front of her, holding up four fingers.
Wow, you're a big girl.
She nodded, smiling, her guard coming down. I looked up at the table in front of her and noticed a My Little Pony coloring book beneath the pills and blow that she had just been playing with.
Can I carry you? We can go outside. It's so loud in here. Have you been outside? There's a balcony and there's a whole bunch of buildings and bright lights, I said excitedly. And sometimes birds come and they sit right on the railing or even better at the table with you.
Her face lit up, nodding her head fervently.
Like Cinderella?
Yes, exactly like Cinderella. Okay, come on, I said, picking her up under her arms and placing her on my hip. Not one person was paying attention to me. No one was watching her, taking care of her, looking after her. No one fucking cared. They just left her with a coloring book and crayons at a table full of drugs. Why would someone bring a kid here? I couldn't imagine what would have happened if I didn't see her reaching for a fucking needle of all things. If I hadn't come home when I did. I shook away the thoughts, taking her in my bathroom first. I lifted her up on the sink to wash her hands of the drugs that she was just playing with, thinking they were toys. I asked her repeatedly if she put anything into her mouth, if she ate anything, and each time she shook her head no. I didn't know whether to believe her or not, but she looked fine. If she took anything, it would have already had an effect on her. I was there now. If she started acting funny, I wouldn't hesitate to call 911. I didn't give a shit what the repercussions could be. It made me sick to my fucking stomach that some asshole would bring their baby in here, and that Austin would let it happen. I picked her back up on my hip, grabbing Austin's notebook from his nightstand with a few colored pencils, since her coloring book was covered in cocaine. At the last second, I grabbed my memory blanket, hoping that it would give her the same security it always gave me. I made my way through the crowd out to the balcony, finally finding Austin out there, smoking a cigarette with John and a few other random people.
Baby, Austin greeted as soon as I opened the doors. There's my girl. I was starting to worry about you, he slurred.
He took a drag of a cigarette as he walked toward me, blowing the smoke to the side before pulling me into his arm, trying to kiss me. I shoved him away and he stumbled back. He still hadn't even realized I was holding a kid in my arms.
The fuck? He muffed out, gripping my arm. What's your problem?
You! You're my problem! Whose kid is this, Austin? I asked, nodding toward her. He blinked a few times, trying to focus on the little girl, but failing miserably in doing so. I sighed, disappointed, furious, and annoyed. Everyone go inside, I roared. They all looked back at Austin as if it didn't matter what I said. Like it didn't matter that this was my damn apartment, my space they were all invading. He nodded towards the balcony doors. I sat Molly in a wrought iron chair, throwing all the shit that was on the table onto the floor, not giving a fuck what it was. I placed Austin's notebook in front of her, opening it up to a blank page and handing her the colored pencils. She beamed, sitting up on her chubby little thighs to see and reach the notebook better.
Will you draw me a picture? Maybe Twilight Sparkle? I love her purple hair, I stated, pulling back her soft brown hair away from her round baby face. Yes, she has purple hair like you, she said in the cutest little voice.
My heart was breaking for her, and we'd only just met. I smiled and she went right to work. It was starting to get cold and she was dressed in summer clothes, so I placed the blanket over her shoulders and she snuggled right into it. I took another deep breath before turning to face Austin. He was intently staring at us, as if everything he ever wanted was a few feet away from him. I saw it. For a moment, my Austin was peeking through the haze. I walked toward him, dragging him to the furthest spot on the balcony, away from her, so she wouldn't hear us. I didn't falter. I couldn't. If I did, the love I had for him would win, and that wasn't going to happen tonight. Not after all this.
Did you know she was here? I gritted out, pointing at Molly.
He looked back over at the little girl who was happy as could be, and then immediately peered down at the ground, rubbing the back of his neck. I scoffed, shaking my head in pure, utter disbelief.
You knew she was fucking here? You knew someone brought a child? And you still let it happen?
What the fuck is wrong with you? I shoved his chest. Baby. He stepped toward me and I instantly stepped back, placing my hand out in front of me. How fucked up are you right now? She was playing with drugs, Austin, reaching for a fucking needle when I found her. I snapped, trying to keep my voice at bay, even though all I wanted to do was scream at him. He winced before I had the last word out. It was quick, but I saw it. Who are you? I breathed out, unable to control my emotions. His dilated eyes widened, and mine filled with tears. I turned to look out over the city, instead of the man I barely recognized anymore. Who the fuck are you right now? I don't even know you anymore. I bellowed with tears streaming down my face. I looked back at him. My Austin? The man I love? Would have never let a kid come into this apartment tonight. He would have never put a little girl's life in danger. What if I didn't find her when I did? What if she took a handful of fucking pills, Austin? He just stood there with a confused look on his face, not understanding the severity of the situation. The man you were a few years ago would have never been so fucked up not to care, I cried, sucking in air that wasn't available for the taking. His hands reached out for me again, but I slapped them away. Daisy, I love you, Yeah, I nodded, not allowing him to finish. You're always fucking sorry. How about this, Austin? How about try not to have to be sorry for anything? How about that, huh? He rubbed the back of his head again. He was so fucked up he couldn't even come up with a string of excuses, his mind not catching up with his bullshit justifications. I wiped away all my tears, but it was no use. They were coming down hard and unforgiving. Just go. Just go back inside. Go to your junkie friends. Go back to your drugs, because that's all that matters to you anymore. I viciously spewed, even though it killed me. Even though I didn't want it to be true, even though I prayed every night that he would come back to me, that our love would prevail over his demons. That's not true. You're all that matters to me, he argued with a stern tone, pushing through the emotionless state. I fucking love you. I made a mistake, okay? I'm not perfect, and I never claimed to be. I'm sorry. I'll make it right, he pleaded with sincerity laced in his voice. It's too late. You're too late. Just fucking go. Get out of my damn face. I can't look at you when you're like this anymore. You make me sick. Get those people out of my fucking apartment, now, I yelled, letting my anger take over. I looked back at the little girl. She didn't seem fazed, which only made me realize she was around this a lot. My heart broke for her even more. Our apartment, Briggs. Our fucking apartment, he stated, making me peer back at him. He had an expression I couldn't read. He tried to reach for me again, but I just turned around, not saying another word. It was pointless to talk to him right now. I walked toward the little girl, turning my back on the one person I had ever loved. I heard him take a deep, long breath before he walked back inside, shutting the doors behind him. I wiped away the tears on my face that seemed to keep falling, absentmindedly rubbing my stomach. I couldn't remember if I had eaten at all that day. I sat down next to her, grabbing a color pencil to help. This is beautiful, Molly. She smiled and it lit up her entire face. I didn't understand how someone wasn't taking care of her. She was such an innocent little girl. Where are your parents? She shrugged. So, who did you come here with?
My daddy.
Where's your mommy? She bit her lip, grabbing another color pencil. Maybe we can call your mommy to come get you. Do you know her number? I coaxed, pulling out my cell phone. She peered up at me with sad eyes, and I swear on everything that was holy, I thought I was looking in the goddamn mirror, like it was me as the little girl staring back at me as the woman.
My mommy died. She's with the angels now. It's just me and my daddy. He will find me, she smiled. He always does.
I jerked back like she had slapped me across the face. My life flashed before my eyes. The past, the present. She went back to her drawing as if what she had just told me didn't change my entire future. Everything that I so desperately wanted now becoming everything I could never have. I gently rubbed the back of her head, wanting to touch her soft hair, to look at her baby face, to take in the little girl that I would never have. At least not in this life.
Chapter 27. Austin. It had been well over a month since the party, since the night I royally fucked up. Briggs still wasn't talking to me. She barely fucking looked at me anymore. It was like I disgusted her. Every time I tried to reach for her in bed or pull her into me, she would move away. I would try again, hoping she would give in to me, but she would just get up and go sleep on the couch. I didn't stop trying, though. I never would. It didn't matter what I said or what I did. I failed at every attempt to get my girl back. Every last one of my efforts were shot down. I hated that she was so pissed at me. It was the worst fucking feeling in the world, not being able to make things right. I hated seeing her so depressed and not being able to bring her back to the light. Bring her back to me. I should have never caused her darkness in the first place. I knew the kid was there, but I was too fucked up. It just didn't register. I wasn't proud of it by any means, but shit happens. I would think she would have been a little more understanding. She used to do all the drugs with me. It was never a fucking problem until it was. I couldn't even remember the last time she actually partied with me. She didn't even smoke weed anymore. I went out with the boys one night, hoping that if I gave her the space that she obviously wanted, she would maybe miss me. We could work this out and have things get back to the way they used to be. I was so fucking depressed because my girl wouldn't even fucking glance at me, let alone talk to me. I just wanted to forget the hurt in my heart from the dagger she was fucking stabbing me with. I wanted to get away for a few hours, just kick back and have a few beers. I promised myself that I wouldn't get high. I would be better for her. Instead, I found myself at John's place, and one thing led to another, and I ended up trying crack for the first time. I had no excuse for it, other than for a few short hours it took away the pain. The hurt I felt deep within my soul was numbed. I was able to forget that she was upset with me, that I may have lost a piece of her heart. At first, I turned it down when Mitch said he had some rock on him. I wasn't much for uppers. I mean, I did blow and shit, but that was only to wake up and come off the downers. Oxys were still my drug of choice. The boys started smoking it, and it smelled so fucking good, I couldn't say no. Before I knew it, the pipe was in my hand, and not even 3 seconds later, I felt like I was the king of the goddamn world. But it wasn't my cup of tea. Like I said, I wasn't a fan of stimulants. I got home late as shit that night, but I always went home to Briggs. No matter what. She was waiting up for me, lying on the couch wrapped in the blanket that I had made for her. As soon as she saw me walk through the door, she released a visible breath, shut off the light, and turned her back to me to go to sleep, not uttering a word. As much as I hated that she did that, it was better than having her see what state of mind I was in. I thought I was in the clear, but drugs make you do very stupid fucking things. I would never lie to her. I was just omitting the truth. When I came home the next day, after doing a few runs, she was sitting in bed with my jeans in her hand. The same jeans I wore out the night before. I knew what was coming next. I knew what she found, but it still didn't prepare me for the hurt I felt in disappointing her yet again, the girl that meant everything to me. Absolutely everything.
"I thought I would do something nice for you today," she said in a desolate tone, breaking my goddamn heart even more. "Baby, let me..." "Let you what? Explain? Apologize? Lie?"
"I don't lie to you," I stated, grabbing the back of my neck, looking down at the floor, feeling guilty as hell.
"Right," she sarcastically laughed. "You only lie to yourself."
I was over to her in 3 strides, sitting in front of her on the balls of my feet. I grabbed her chin, and she tried to pull away from me, but I gripped it harder, making her look at me. We finally locked eyes after what felt like fucking forever. For the first time, her eyes weren't a bright, shining color of blue. They looked sad, swollen from crying and sleepless nights. They were hollow, even though I could still see the love she had for me hidden behind the emptiness.
"You haven't said one word to me, Briggs. Not one fucking word in over a month,"
I stated the truth.
And that's supposed to make this okay?
She held up the pipe she had found in my jeans. I must have placed it in there after we stopped smoking. I didn't even remember doing it.
All I'm trying to say is that I fucking miss you, baby. I miss you so much that I can't breathe. I can't function without you. I miss you too, Austin. I miss you more than you'll ever know.
Then why are you doing this to me? Us, Briggs.
How do you not see it? How can you be so fucking blind? You're always fucked up, Austin. I don't remember the last time I saw you sober. That's how bad this is.
That's not true, I said, shaking my head.
Really? What are you on right now?
My eyes widened. Pain pills? What I'm always fucking on? What I've been on?
For pain. For fucking pain. How many have you taken today? 10? 15? Maybe 20? What does it take for you to not feel pain anymore? It's not about the pain.
She roughly tore her chin away from my grasp, looking deep into my eyes.
It hasn't been about the pain for years. It's about you being high now. It's about you being fucked up. How you can't see that is beyond me.
Jesus Christ. I stood peering down at her. Do I not function? Do I not fuck you good anymore? Do I not make you come enough? Am I not bringing in the money? Huh? What am I not doing? I take care of you. I'm not sitting around just doing fucking drugs, Briggs. I'm not a fucking junkie. She stood up right in front of my face, putting her finger into my chest, and spoke with conviction.
No, Austin, you're just a fucking addict.
She turned around to leave before I had a chance to respond to her allegations. Baby, I grabbed her arm, turning her to face me. She immediately shut her eyes as if it pained her to look at me. I reached up instead, holding on to the sides of her face, willing her to open her eyes for me. Daisy, I lovingly coaxed. I only ever called her that when I really needed her. To look at me. To talk to me. To listen to me. To feel me.
I love you. I love you so fucking much. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for everything. I fucked up. I know that. But baby, I'm not an addict. I don't have a problem. I can stop whenever I want. I just got caught up for a minute, okay? That's it,
I explained, caressing her cheek with my thumbs, praying that she would believe me.
Almost 4 years, Austin,
she murmured loud enough for me to hear.
Your minute has turned into almost 4 years, babe.
I grimaced, backing away from her. Had it really been that long? No, she's wrong. My mind was spinning, trying to find some clarity, some truth within the haze. She opened her eyes and they mirrored more fear, more worry, and more love than I had seen in forever, like she was answering the questions that immediately plagued my mind. When did she start looking at me like that? Neither one of us said anything. We said it all. The silence was deafening all around us. The air was so fucking thick between us that I couldn't breathe. She was the first to break our connection, as if she could no longer bear to see the man staring back at her. I didn't stop her when she turned to leave this time. I stood there and watched the love of my life walk out the door, terrified that she wouldn't ever come back. I couldn't will myself to move. My feet were glued to the goddamn floor. The ground swallowed me whole. I collapsed onto the edge of the bed, my legs no longer able to support my weight. My inner demons were taking over. My worst fears coming to life. I cradled my head in my hands. My mind was racing, my head was throbbing, and my heart was breaking. Every last part of me left with Briggs through that door. The picture frame of us on the nightstand caught my attention. I reached over and grabbed it, remembering the day we took it. She was so happy, so beautiful. She had so much life in her eyes, so much light that I put there.
When did we lose our way, baby?
I whispered to her face in the picture. My fingers skimmed along the glass, all around her beautiful face. My eyes blurred, and sobs tore through my entire body. The truth's crippling me in ways I never thought possible. Before I knew what I was doing, I had my hand in the air, chucking the frame against the wall in front of me. Shards of glass crashed to the ground in an instant, mimicking my soul. A separate small